ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a live studio audience. Yeah. It's the men here tonight. Blessed to have son-in-law here, Ezra Herman, gets a shout out. You excited to listen to the podcast?
Yes.
Okay. We're excited to have Ezra and Ariella here for the weekend. Special treat for us. And we had an absolutely incredible winter social event at Project 613. We called it the Winter Toast, not the bread toast, but the champagne toast. Absolutely incredible. I have to admit, if there are 100 types, choices of music, jazz is my 101st choice. But at a party, it's really cool. It was really cool. We had a jazz ensemble, an open bar, and incredible food from Surly's. Caterer, please use him. Shulam from Cold Tuve here in Chicago did an incredible job with the open bar, and the band was Nishma. If anyone in Chicago would like to use any of those vendors, they are absolutely incredible and are big supporters of Project 613. It was such a beautiful night. We were celebrating one full year in our downtown center, which has really created such an incredible community of Jewish young professionals. Truly blessed to just be part of this Project 613 community. And we're just from one great event to the next. We have a Shabbos in the city this coming weekend. If you know Jewish young professionals in downtown Chicago, Chicagoland area, please send them our way for an incredible Shabbos in the city. And boy, oh boy, do we have a podcast for you tonight. If you see the front cover of the podcast, it says, "Are you serious?" Yes, are you serious? S-Y-R-I. Yes, for Syria. Which is, now, we know Monday Motivation, we don't focus on politics, but we do focus on how Torah views the world. And it's very difficult to overlook the truly awe-inspiring, like guffaw-inspiring events that have happened in Syria in the past few weeks with the fall of the Assad regime, which was absolutely, totally unpredicted by pretty much everyone on planet Earth. And I think there is an absolutely important connection with Hanukkah, which is coming up in a few weeks, and how we view our own lives. So fasten your seatbelts. We're going to talk about Syria, and then we're going to talk about the events that happened, not too much in detail. This, again, is not a political analysis. You can get much better political analysis elsewhere, but we're going to get a spiritual analysis and then tie it to Hanukkah. Okay, are we ready? So here we go. Syria. Why do we care? What is Syria all about? So we have to understand that Syria waged genocidal wars. They really believed that they were going to be the ones who were going to wipe Israel off the map. That was their goal. Of all the nations in this brutal, rough and tumble neighborhood called the Middle East, Syria was numero uno. They were mispar achad. They were number one in their desire to wipe Israel and the Jews off the map. You see it in the wars in 1948, and then again in 1967, and then again in 1973, and then their future help with Iran, which we're going to get to. And what was amazing, and people forget, that in 1948, Syria had the Golan Heights. And what happened basically between 1948 and 1967 is that Syria nonstop was bombing the Hula Valley. They were bombing the farmers in the Galilee, in the Golan, the Galilee, and without reproach, you know, from the UN. We know how great they are in helping Israel. And it was a disaster. Could you imagine going out to your fields and getting, you know, missiles shot at you? Well, that was daily occurrence from 1948 to 1967 until the Six-Day War in 1967, in which Israel miraculously in 6 days pushed Syria back, controlled the Golan Heights, not all of them. We only got the full Golan Heights until last week, but we got the Golan Heights, which in an absolutely incredible piece, it says that in West Point, that they gave an assignment. They gave an assignment of making a natural military strategy about how to defeat the Syrians on the Golan Heights, given their superior tanks and position. And they gave it as an assignment in an officer training course. The officers in training worked on it for a very long time. And they came back and said, it's absolutely impossible. It actually was. It was truly miraculous that we were able to defeat the Syrians in 1967. And then, it didn't end then. In 1973, they not only teamed with Egypt, but they pushed Egypt to go further in the war. And eventually they both lost. Okay, so they really, that's number one. They really were the driving force to want to wipe Israel off the map. They're also very famous for knowing that if any Israelis or Jews, God forbid, became prisoners of war, that would be the worst situation possible. That would be absolutely the worst situation possible. They're notorious for how they treated, in general, their prisoners, as we've seen recently, but in particular, the Jewish prisoners of war. They also were merciless to their own people. The most recent Assad regime killing at least 500,000 of its own people, chemical warfare. But this is something that went on for decades. And to be honest, that leads to the next major thing, the fourth factor, which is millions of refugees have basically overrun Europe. They're predominantly from Syria. Okay, so the impact of the Syrian regime has had a tremendous impact literally on modern history. Now, it's a discussion, the European policy, if they should have taken it, but again, that is outside the purview of Monday Motivation. And the last thing why Syria was significant is because they were the main pipeline and helper of Iran. Rabbi, we are Persian. I love the Persian Jews. They are my favorite. Anyway, see, we let our hair down a little bit here on Monday Motivation. But Iran, okay, was the major funder and arms provider for Hezbollah, which was not only in Lebanon, but also in parts of Syria. And they were basically the cronies of Iran. None of that would have been possible without Syria allowing and facilitating that pipeline. Okay, and so what happened? Well, okay, here's what the news says. So, okay, end of first section, we see Syria bad. So what happened? Basically, in this war against Hezbollah, Israel severely weakened and damaged Hezbollah. Hezbollah were the cronies, what's left of them, of Iran, and Hezbollah would go in between Lebanon and Syria, either causing trouble for Israel or supporting the Syrian Assad regime. When Israel wiped out Hezbollah with the incredible beeper phenomenon, unbelievable, probably the greatest stealth attack in military history, probably, I would say. No, you can't even fathom what the beeper attack was. Okay, but again, I digress. That basically led a vacuum that the rebels who were fighting against Assad said there's no more Hezbollah to protect the Assad regime. Russia was busy with Ukraine, and Iran was unable to hold up the Assad regime. And in a matter of weeks, the entire Syrian government fell from one city to the next. And then what happened? Israel goes in to the Syrian side of the Golan Heights, the part that Syria controlled. And how vital are those parts? Because they're the ones, whoever has the high ground over there is the winner. And Israel now, after 70 years of war, almost 80 years of war with this country, walk in without firing a bullet, without a missile, without anything. They walk in to the Golan Heights, the Syrian part, controlled part, and they walk into Syria. And the last week or two, Israel has been destroying every tank, every missile, every airplane, every ship, military ship and military plane that Syria has ever owned. It's unbelievable. You can't even fathom it. We read these headlines like, oh, just another day in Syria. Israel just wiped out. By the way, the United States, FYI, they're in on the action. Also, they're bombing stuff over there. You don't need not so many headlines on it, but they're in there doing sorties and they're knocking out stuff. What is going on? It is literally, you could, if we would say, even a month ago, 2 months ago, Israel's just going to walk into Syria and overtake their greatest enemy in the Middle East without firing a bullet. If I would tell it to you, you would take me to the doctor and have me committed as an act. And it happened. And it happened. It happened in our time. And it's happening right now. And the question is, we just move on and we say, oh, yeah, that's just the way it is. And this is now the segue to the next section of our podcast today, which is the connection to Hanukkah. As Hanukkah is coming up, it's such a beautiful holiday. But it's not just a beautiful holiday. It's not just a beautiful holiday of the Jews being saved. There's very many powerful lessons, and that's what we're going to do right now. So where do we learn about Hanukkah? Well, let's check the videotape, which is, we call the prayer book. And if you look at the prayer book in the Amidah, the silent prayer, there is a special edition for both Hanukkah and Purim, the two official rabbinic holidays that commemorate and relive and celebrate God saving us from the bad guys. Okay, and now it's Hanukkah time. And if you look through the what we call the Al Hanisim in the silent prayer, in the Modim blessing, the blessing of thanksgiving, of being grateful, we'll see an unbelievable thing. That the whole focus is talking about the war. They talk about the wicked Greek kingdom. And they caused us to, want to leave Judaism. And it goes through the whole thing that God delivered the strong into the hands of the weak, the many into the hands of the few, the impure, i.e. the Greeks, in the hands of the pure, the Jews, the wicked in the hands of the righteous, the malicious ones into the hands of those who study your Torah. Okay, and it's all about the war. It's about the war and about the Greeks. And at the very, very, very end, there's like a little teeny tiny message of, oh, FYI, by the way, they came in and they kindled the lights and that's it. Mazel tov, there's Hanukkah. So if we were summarizing Hanukkah from the prayer book, we would say, yeah, we Jews, we beat the Greeks. Thank you, God. And it's all about the war. And yet, the celebration of Hanukkah, we know, does not hinge and pivot around military celebrations. What's the main celebration of Hanukkah aside from the greasy donuts and the greasy latkes? What is it? Of course, it is the lighting of the candles. And so then we go to the Talmud, Tractate Shabbos. I know you guys all know this at home. Okay, but I'm just refreshing you. Page 21B. And Hanukkah does not make that much, does not have that much real estate in the Talmud. However, the main section of the Talmud is here in the tractate of Shabbos. Okay, and so the Gemara asks, and we're going to hear a very different story. It says, "My Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? The Tana Rabbanan, that the rabbis teach on the 25th of Kislev are the days, is the days of Hanukkah. Okay, Tamnia, there are eight. Inun, there are 8 days. Okay, and there's, they give certain laws. We don't give eulogies. These are joyous days. We don't fast on these days. Okay, why? Because these are the days that the Yevanim, the Greeks, entered the Heichal, our holy temple, and they defiled all of the oils. Now, is this sounding familiar to you? Isn't this the story that we all know and love? And when the Hasmoneans came and rose up and defeated them, they checked and they only found Pach Echad Shel Shemen. Okay, only one flask of oil that had the seal Bechosamo Shel Kohen Gadol. Okay, that had the seal of the high priest. Okay, and they only had enough Lahadlik Yom Echad. They only had one oil enough for 1 day. And Naaseh Bo Neis, a miracle happened. Vidliku Mimenu Shemona Yamim. It lasted 8 days. This is the story we know and love. L'shana Cheres. And the next year, Kavu'um, they established them. Vasa'um Yamim Tovim. They made them days of Halal and Hoda'ah, of praise and thanks to the Almighty. Now, if we were summarizing Hanukkah from the Gemara, from the Talmud, what would we say? We would say that really, the holiday's all about the lights. It's all about the miracle of the lights. So, folks, which one is it? Right? Is it, you know, the war, like the prayer book says, like the Siddur says? Or is it celebrating, really, the miracle of the lights? So, and this is where it's going to become very real. And the words of the Maharal of Prague are going to come and help us understand this contradiction. Because really, there were two miracles that happened. Now, what would have happened if we would have just celebrated the military victory? Everyone there at the time knew that it was what? It was miraculous. You have literally a ragtag army defeating, you know, the Greek Empire, which is basically impossible. Like the joke that I like to say, and one time I said it in class, that there was, you know, it's like the army of Costa Rica, you know, defeating the American army. And I heard one girl laugh hysterically. I'm like, what's going on? She says, I'm from Costa Rica. They have no army. I said, exactly. That's exactly it. There's no army in Costa Rica, right? That's exactly it. There was no, they weren't an army. Okay, it's some old Kohanim, you know, long beards and whatever. And I know they turned the Chashmonaim into Rambo and stuff. These were Kohanim. These were, okay. And what would have happened if we would have focused on the war? That generation would have known it's a miracle. The next generation would have started, you know, the posters on the wall looking like Rambo, you know, Chashmonaim. By the way, nowadays, the Maccabi Games, we've turned it into the Jewish Olympics, right? It means that we would have lost touch to the true miracle of what the battle was. So the Almighty did us a tremendous favor, and he made a different type of miracle. He made an open miracle, one that broke the laws of nature. However you cut it, one night of oil cannot last 8 nights, okay? The best analogy we all know about this is, right, one's iPhone is on 10%, okay? And you're using it normally. It cannot last 8 days. It just can't, right? So how much more so? This oil, it's not going to last 8 nights. So what happens? The Almighty makes a miracle. What, you don't think God could have planted 8 flasks for 8 nights? No, he specifically wanted there to be a miracle that broke the laws of nature to teach us that God is the one who is running nature. that which we call a military victory, all guerrilla warfare, and the Jews had more motivation, we could come up with 10 different reasons why the war was not miraculous. And God says, I'm going to give you a Rebbe. I'm going to give you an instructor. I'm going to give you an open miracle that is going to teach you how to view the military victory. Because in the end of the day, what miracle did the Jewish people really need? We needed the military victory. The miracle of the oil was a cherry on top. It was very nice. But as we see now, it wasn't just a cherry on top. It was instructing us how to view the day in, day out military victory. And that is why we're talking about Syria. Because are you serious? Are you serious? You're going to tell me that the regime that lasted for decades and decades and decades trying to destroy us and just fell without one bullet being shot? That is Hanukkah. Are we going to view it as just a regular occurrence? Or are we going to look at the light of the Hanukkah menorah and have it shine on us and illuminate not only our rooms, but illuminate our minds and teach us that that's how you read the New York Times headlines? All you need to insert there is Syria falls, but you need to insert there, God made it that Syria falls. That's how we view history. That's how we view current events. There could be no greater gift than the fall of Syria for us to plug in to the upcoming holiday of Hanukkah, that we will view everything that happens in our lives, not as happenstance, not as accident, but as divine plan from our loving parent, God and creator, who wants the best for us. And so too then, we can see the events of our lives, see them as positive challenges for us to rise to the occasion, to shine our light like the menorah. God bless. Have an amazing week, and may the current events cause us to be inspired to a more illuminated view of our world and deeper connection with the Almighty. God bless, and we'll see you again next week, God willing, for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.